With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, the voice of the resistance. 617-266-6868 is the number. You can text us 70470. Just write WRKO, please, in front of your text message, because we share this text line with other stations. 70470. Or as always, you can email me. Let me throw super quick log. Really interesting message, right on the fire. Jeff, nobody has addressed this. A 15-year-old is not allowed to smoke, drink, or vote. But he's allowed to have a gun in Michigan? He's allowed to carry a gun in Michigan? Can't we start with that? That's a very interesting point. I mean, you know me, I'm all for the Second Amendment, and I had a hunting rifle when I was not 15, 14. But, you know, they buy their kid a gun for Christmas on Black Friday. And he's, oh, this is a beauty, and he's showing it off on Instagram, and they don't secure the gun. They're not supervising him as he has this gun. A gun is a very dangerous weapon. And look, my dad got me a hunting rifle, yes, but I was never allowed to touch it without him being present, without his under a strict supervision. And in fact, he, you know, when we were in the house, I never touched it. He would put it in the car with his gun. We would go shooting for hunting, like target shooting. And that's when he would let me have the gun. He taught me how to use the gun. And then when we would go hunting, he would give it to me, but I always had the safety on. And in other words, very responsible gun ownership. But that I could ever just have a gun and walk around the house with the rifle and like, hey, hey, look at this. Here's me holding it like this. Here's me holding it like that. Whoa, let me, and show it off to my friends and go, look at this, baby. Look at this. And never mind me going on about, I'm going to shoot up that school. Oh, bodies everywhere. Blood everywhere. I mean, it would be a scandal. My father would go berserk. It wouldn't happen. It just would not happen because my parents wouldn't allow it to happen. So that's the other part that I look at these parents. I'm like, what planet are you people living on? Really? I mean, negligent from A to Z. Or again, am I wrong? 617-266-6868 is the number. Lines are blazing. Cynthia, who is a principal, I believe, in Connecticut. Thanks for holding, Cynthia, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm actually a retired principal now, high school principal, middle school principal. And I first of all want to thank you for always being the voice of reason on the air. I look forward to listening to you every day. Given the scenario, my primary responsibility, I felt every single day, was to ensure the health and safety of everyone in the building, and particularly the students, but also the adults. So that's number one. Number two, if an incident happened like this in my school, the resource officer would go to the room, get the child, bring the child down to the office. I would call the child's parents. The child would be suspended for 10 days for threatening behavior. Making a drawing like that is threatening behavior. The police would be involved. The recommendation would be some type of psychiatric help, and the child would not be allowed back in the school until it was determined that the child was not, had a safety issue that the child was safe. And not threatening the not have threatening actions anymore. And if that didn't happen, the child would never come back to school. All of my doors were always locked, and the front of the building was the only way you could enter. Anyone who was monitoring the front of the building would never allow that child to come to school. Any child who's suspended can't be on the premises. So I felt that I ran a very safe school and had no incidences that would reoccur.
Oh, I can just tell just by the way you're speaking. I mean, you ran a tight ship. That's how my principals ran my schools when I was, when I was younger, during the 1970s and 1980s, when I was growing up. Cynthia, I want to ask you this. And if you can just be as brutally honest with me, as I like to say, like in the confessional, if you were the principal of Oxford High School, okay, you're no longer a retired principal, you're now still active or reactivated principal, Cynthia, and you're now the principal at Oxford High School, and two teachers come to you and they say, look at this, Cynthia, look at this. He's fantasizing about shooting up the other students. He's talking about blood everywhere. He's got these horrific, violent drawings. He's talking about how he can't stop his thoughts, about how he wants to kill everybody, how he feels useless, how the world is dead to him, how he fantasizes about violence and shooting everyone. And this is presented to you. You call the parents. They come down the next day and to your face say, that's not our problem, Cynthia. We don't think our kid has a problem. Ethan is fine as far as we're concerned. And we don't want you to suspend him. We want you to send him right back to the classroom. What would now reactivated Cynthia do as the principal of Oxford High School?
First of all, Jeff, the parents would have to come in that day. There's no way I would wait a day. And the child would remain in my office until the parents came. I would also have, because this is probable cause, I would have the resource officer checking the locker while we're waiting for the parents to come in. That threatening behavior was against the rules of the school because it provided a safety issue to everybody in the building. So therefore, there's no question the child would be suspended. That's it. Would go home with the parents. But then the police would be involved, and I'm not sure exactly how the police would handle it. But the way the child could come back to the school was they would have to have psychiatric help. And, nobody would be allowed in our building, if they had a weapon. There's no way.
So, in other words, Cynthia, you would have gotten the police involved. Yeah, right away. The child, whether the parents want him suspended or not, the child is gone. The child is off school premises. And basically, call me after your child has a proper psychiatric evaluation, and then we'll talk. Correct?
Exactly.
That's a principle. Cynthia, God bless you, and thank you very much for that call. That's literal. That's Mr. Lynn. That's Mr. Doyle. That's Mr. Chernatovich. What Cynthia just described, those were my principles growing up. Zero tolerance. You put the safety and security of the students under your charge above everything else. Your calls next. On the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. You can also text us 70470. Please just write WRKO in front of your text message, or as always, you can email me. The audience, you want to talk about hitting it out of the park. Here's a couple more for you. Just brilliant, brilliant stuff. Jeff, are you noticing some similarities here to the Parkland school shooting as well? Remember how all the kids there kept warning that this kid was going to go off because of his behavior and things he was saying? And they were increasingly worried that something was going to happen, but he just kept skating through the system. Yes. To me, the similarities between this and Parkland are eerie. Absolutely eerie. Warning signs, red flags everywhere. And everybody either played stupid or turned a blind eye. 617-266-6868. By the way, including the parents. Let me do one more, and then I want to go back to the blazing phone lines. This is from Larry. Jeff, no child under age 21 can buy slash possess a handgun. It's federal law. So you see, Larry, you just taught me something now. I did not know that. So according to Larry, and I trust Larry, no child under age 21 can buy slash possess a handgun. It's federal law. So, I mean, I know the parents bought it. The Crumleys bought it for Ethan Crumley. And they said it was like a Christmas gift. And he was waving it around and showing it off on Facebook. And what is it, on Instagram? You know, he called it my new beauty. Look at my new beauty. So I guess technically it was the parents' gun, but they were like, wink, wink, son, this is for you. And they had it in their bedroom in a drawer, and it was unsecured. That's how he got the gun. That's how he apparently put it in his backpack. And that's how he took it to school. And on that fateful day, 3 hours after the meeting with school officials and his parents, when they sent him back to the classroom, he went to the bathroom. He loaded his gun, his pistol, his 9mm pistol, walked into the hallway, and it was boom, boom, boom. And it was an execution. It was a slaughter. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, my friends, Grace says I shouldn't mention this on the air. I'm going to mention it. You know me, I'm a walking spigot. I can't keep anything to myself. I coach a junior boys basketball team. Okay. Long story short, it started about a couple months ago. Ashton is on a junior boys basketball team, the school that he attends. And because of everyone, the hysteria over COVID and the coronavirus, you're indoors, you're in gyms. Nobody wants to do any coaching. Everybody's afraid. So the team couldn't play, Ashton's team, fifth graders, sixth graders, because everybody's afraid they're going to catch the coronavirus. So Ashton's like, please, daddy, we need a coach. It's our team. If you don't have a coach, we won't have a team this year. Daddy, 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 please, daddy. So, okay, Ashton, you want me to be the coach of your team? I'll be the coach of your team. Long story short, we hold regular practices. Our season is actually starting. Between you and me, and I've said this to other people, we're the basketball equivalent of the Bad News Bears. I mean, oh boy, I'm going to be happy if we win one game this season. Okay. But they're great kids. They'll give you the shirt off their back. Beautiful kids, wonderful boys. But would it kill you to practice a little and put that ball in the hoop? But anyway, let it go. So anyway, the Cooner man, and we have another coach. So there's two coaches on the team. We've been trying to get these boys into some kind of shape to be able to play some kind of basketball. Yes, I'm there to teach them basketball skills as a coach. Yes, I'm there to teach them good sportsmanship. Yes, I'm there ultimately to teach them good character. Yes. But I'm going to be brutally honest with you. The practice is held on school grounds, inside the school gym, on school premises. All the doors are locked. My number one priority, above sportsmanship and basketball and good character and all of this, is I want to make sure after every practice and every game that those boys go back to their parents alive, healthy, intact, and not hurt, right? But above all, alive. When practice is over and the parents are outside waiting for them to pick them up, I want those 10 kids to walk out that door and they're going to be alive.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now, I'm sorry, but that is my moral responsibility and duty. It is, and I feel it very acutely. When I'm practicing with them, when I'm mentoring them, when I'm coaching them, my job is to make sure that they're safe. So if I had a player that is going on about shooting up the team or shooting up the gym or fantasizing and showing me drawings or videos or whatever, how he can't stop his thoughts, that he just can't stop thinking about shooting his other teammates, and he shows me a drawing of teammates on the gym floor, on the basketball floor, and blood gushing out. And he's saying, you know, blood everywhere, and the world is dead to me, and I feel useless. And hey, out, out. I go right to the principal. I go right to school authorities. And I'm telling you my position is he's out. And until he gets proper treatment, psychiatric treatment, he's not coming back in ever, because my primary responsibility is not about his feelings or his self-esteem or whether his parents care or don't care, whether they give a damn or don't give a damn. Look, I hope they do. They should take care of it. It's their responsibility. But my duty is to the other 9 kids to make sure he doesn't come to school with a gun or a knife or whatever and shoot them and me and everyone else. So if you're sensing why is the Cooner Man, you know, really hot about this topic, because I deal with students now on a regular basis. I go to school. I go on school premises. And yes, they have a right to have a safe, whether it be a learning environment or a basketball environment or an athletic environment. Yes, they have a right to be safe. Call me old fashioned. I don't care. So would I take it upon myself? You better believe it. And if the school, they would act, by the way, it's a very good school, but let that go. If the school wouldn't act, I'm out. I'm out. And not only am I out, let me put my cards on the table, as the Germans would say. I pull Ashton out, but I would call and email every parent of every child on that team and say, I want you to know this is the disturbing information that I got. The school has refused to do anything. I am pulling my child out. I am no longer going to be coaching this team. And I strongly, in the strongest possible terms, urge you to pull your child out. It's your call. It's your business. It's your child. It's ultimately your authority. It's not mine. But my strongest recommendation, I can't stress it high. I cannot stress it highly enough. Don't take a risk. This kid looks unstable to me, looks deranged. Something is seriously wrong. In this day and age, with all these school shootings or violence in schools, pull your kid out. That's what I'm doing. To me, I'm sorry, this is just common sense. But we live in an age where common sense is now dead. 617-266-6868 is the number. Mike in Missouri. Thanks for holding, Mike, and welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Mike.
I see the similarities between the Parkland shooting too. These are not missed signs. They're ignored signs. The school, when you drop your kid off at school, they are responsible for his safety until you pick them up. It just amazes me that they just blame everybody else, but they train employees every year, school districts, that they have it's a duty to report. It's an obligation to report sexual harassment or kids being sexually abused. If they see the signs and do not report it, they can be brought up on charges for not reporting it. I don't understand why it's not the same with this. They have an obligation to report things like that, and then they just ignore these signs. It just amazes me that they don't take it more serious. You know, the security in the schools, the majority of these could be curtailed with proper security, but they just will not implement the security they need to keep these from happening.
And due diligence, and that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
No, you nailed it. You absolutely see. They didn't miss the signs. I love the way you phrased it. They ignored the signs. They deliberately turned a blind eye. And now you've got four young kids dead and seven others seriously wounded.
Yeah. You know, they act like metal detectors at a school. It'd be just the terriblest thing that ever happened. But my grandkids, if they were in a school with metal...
Oh, I agree with you. No, I agree with you. No, I'm all for metal detectors. Mike, thank you for that call. .948 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868. Bob in Lynn. Thanks for holding, Bob, and welcome.
Morning, Jeff.
Hi, Bob.
Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate what you do. Fantastic job.
Thank you, Bob.
Speaking as one educator to another, I was a high school principal, and I did a stint as the interim superintendent when the superintendent got sick at the school for a little while.
Okay.
I'll tell you what happened.
Go ahead, Bob.
What happened in my school, it was in New York State where I was Central New York, where I was principal. We found a bullet in the cafeteria. And the girl brought it to me, and I immediately showed it to the school resource officer. And she was a New York State trooper. She contacted her commander, and they said, lock the school down. We're going to find the gun. And within 15 minutes, I had New York State troopers as hall monitors. We locked the place down. Everybody stayed where they were. They searched. They didn't find the gun. But while they were searching, I was crafting a letter to the parents, what was going on. I also called the school's lawyer. I called the school board president, and it's about the communication. The communication that I had with my students, they would bring me anything that bothered them. I would talk to them about it. And that line of communication was key. If a kid in that school was asking his parents for a gun for Christmas, I'd have known about it before he even asked his parents. And I'd have shared that information with the school resource officer immediately. No secrets. We'd have known. And had he brought the situation that's going on today, if that had come across my desk, I would have had that gun right there in my office when the parents came.
You sound like a great principal. You sound like the principals I had, to be brutally honest with you, Bob. Bob, I want to ask you this. I agree with you 100%. Please don't get me wrong. But let me just play devil's advocate for a second. What you're talking about is a bullet, a bullet, an actual bullet. It's something concrete. This wasn't a bullet. Yep. This is a drawing, several drawings. A cell phone where he's looking to buy ammunition, but you don't have anything. You have something concrete, obviously the drawings, but you don't have a gun. You don't have a bullet. So if a teacher came to you and said, hey, look at these disturbing drawings, shooting up the school, bodies on the ground. He says he wants blood everywhere, that he's talking about how life has no meaning for him and his thoughts. He can't control his thoughts about shooting up the school. What would you have done? Would you have called the parents the way they did the next day? Would you have called them the same day? Would you have called the police as well?
Well, I would have had, I have a school resource office there, and the officer's office is next door to mine. That person, the resource officer, would have been involved in that conversation. We would not let that kid out of my office until a school psychologist took him away. I would have also said, okay, so you're interested in video games and this is all make-believe and fantasy? Prove to me that it is. Let me see what's in your book bag. Show me. Let me see what's in your locker. Show me. I would have had reports from other kids, too, that would have been telling me what he was thinking, what he was saying, what he was doing. So I would have known more than just him walking in or him being sent in.
Or I'd have been way out ahead of it. In other words, you wouldn't have taken his word at face value.
No, not really. I say, okay, prove it. Show me.
Bob,
it's my honor to keep a safe environment.
As a former principal, do you think that the principal and the guidance counselors involved, because you're right, they just sent them right back to the classroom. They just sent them back. Are they in any way legally culpable the way the parents have now been charged with involuntary manslaughter?
Those teachers and counselors, as speaking as the interim superintendent, they work for me. I work for the school board. The school board only has one employee, and that would have been me. My job would be to support the school board in that situation. And that situation called for, we need to know more. We just can't let this go. And he would not have gotten back to the classroom that day, regardless of what the parents wanted.
So, Bob, you're saying you think they clearly were negligent.
Yeah, clearly they didn't do their job completely. As superintendent, I would have had that conversation with my principals and counselors. Why didn't you do the job like the school policy tells you to?
And because the school superintendent now, he's praising them. He's saying they did everything according to their experience and their training and their, you know, their clinical knowledge. And so don't blame them. Don't blame the principal. Don't blame the guidance counselors. He's defending them to the hilt.
Tell you what, the school board has a policy, and that policy needs to be followed. If the school board says send them back to the classroom, if that's in that policy that you don't need to find out more information, fine. You've done what the school board said. The school board is the ultimate authority here, and the superintendent is the school board's sole employee. The boards don't employ the teachers. The superintendent does. They worked for me, and I would insist on them following school board policy.
Interesting.
Whatever that is, I don't know what it is, but
very interesting.
As far as the parents are concerned, they need to deal with the justice system, the legal authorities, following the law of that state. I don't know. In New York State, a 15-year-old kid can't even touch a firearm like that. They're not allowed to have access to it, knowledge of it, or even to touch it. Even on the firing range, they're not allowed. So I'm not sure what the law is in that other state, but the parents need to follow that law. And if they didn't, so much for them. That's their issue.
Bob, thank you very much for that call. Mike in Lynn. Mike, I've got a minute. The floor is yours. Go.
Morning, Jeff. Thank you for all you're doing. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
Okay, with that being said, I'm going to go back to the 50s when I was a kid, 1951, born in the Catholic schools in 57, 58. In the classrooms, they had the attitude, the nuns, bless them, of a principal. It started right in the classroom, Jeff. Okay? I mean, I'm not advocating what they now call child abuse, but I'm telling you, if you went to Catholic school, they whacked you with a ruler on your knuckles. You got the hot mustard in your mouth. You got the bar of soap. You got the threat of the old convent next door. They let you know what went and didn't go, and you went thrown out of there back to your parents, who then gave you like the beginning of Goodfellas movie. If the nuns did it to you, wait till you get home. But anyways, I blame the schools.
We've taken God out of the schools, and look what's happened. Look what's happened. Mike, thank you very much for that call. I need more time. I gotta go. Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.